welcome one and all once again to Dirt Worlds in episode 79. We have a very, it's a light episode, but some important stuff to talk about this week. It's, you know, the week before a gaming convention or several gaming conventions, because PAX is pretty much right after GamesCon. So usually everything goes quiet, but we do have some news items to talk about and some impressions and all that fun jazz. Joining us this week, we have Daniel.
Hello.
We have Martin.
Hi.
And we have Chad.
Yo.
Okay, so we're going to kick it off because last week's episode was pretty rapid fire. What have you folks been playing recently?
I have been playing Counter-Strike because Counter-Strike Global Offensive is coming out. And I'm playing the beta, so I get an advance on it.
How is that going?
Well, I'm going to say this. They made a Counter-Strike game, and somebody who doesn't like playing Counter-Strike at all, for some reason, likes playing this Counter-Strike game. I can't explain it. They haven't changed a lot, or added a lot. I just really like playing it.
Okay.
I'm not good at it, but, you know.
Is it possibly because of new game modes?
Well, not really. They've sort of tweaked a game mode or two, but they haven't really added one. I mean, Gun Game has been in Counter-Strike forever. They've just made it official.
Yeah, that's why I mean.
Oh, no, I'm not playing Gun Game.
It's official.
The one I've sort of fallen in love with is your standard DE. It's sort of DE across with Gun Game, but so you get one life around, and the terrorists have to plant a bomb, and obviously the terrorists have to stop them. But when you kill somebody, you can only get one weapon upgrade per round. But when you kill somebody, you get a different weapon the next round. And if you kill multiple people, you get grenades tagged on for the next round. So that's what I've been playing, and I've quite like.
I'm pretty excited to try it out myself.
Yeah, I've been in the beta for a year, and I've played it quite a bit. Just like the last patch they issued was really big, and it changed a lot of stuff, and it's made the game even more playable for me than it was before. And I don't even know what they've changed specifically to make that happen. But they've converted somebody, so
I would assume the patch you got right now makes the game pretty much final, almost final.
Yeah, I would say it's almost final.
Yeah.
Okay, what about you, Martin? What have you been playing?
I have been playing Hybrid. But I can't really say anything new about it. I already talked about the game, I think, when the beta was out. I'm not sure I talked about it. Did I?
What type of game is it?
Hybrid is, and bear with me, it's a third-person cover-based shooter.
Okay, so I mean, that narrows it down this generation.
But it plays very differently from most third-person cover-based shooters, because otherwise I would not play it. Because I'm kind of sick of those games. But Hybrid at least tries to do something unique, and that is how movement works. Because you basically can't move by yourself. The levels are...
Okay, now I know which one this is. This is kind of like... it's like the Spider-Man stuff from Amazing Spider-Man, where you pick a point and then your character transfers there.
Kinda, yeah. You have, like, the levels are organized in a way that there are a couple of walls in them. And on specific points, and you just point in the direction with your reticle and press A, and you will fly over with your jetpack. While you fly over, the only control you have is like go up, left or right on this rail you are following, so you basically can dodge if someone is shooting at you, but otherwise you will just go towards the next cover. And at the cover point, you can actually move along, but that's basically all the movement options you have in this game. And this kind of makes it very interesting because you mostly are concentrating on using your abilities, actually shooting, and it kind of makes it more tactical because you really have to think about how to flank an opponent using just the few ways these levels actually have to every point, which is kind of interesting. Of course, they also have an ability which is called teleport, which of course teleports you to a different point, which also makes this very interesting. One of my favorite combination of abilities right now is picking like the double barrel shotgun, which is very short range but has very high damage, picking teleport, and the ability that reduces my cooldown on my primary ability, which is my teleport. So I just teleport over to the enemies and blind fire over the cover and then quickly go back, which works pretty well because a lot of people have not yet caught on to the tells of the teleport, because it's not like you just appear. You see a glow at your position, and then there's a glow where you were going to teleport, and then you appear. But a lot of people have not caught on to that yet, as it seems. And it's very interesting also how they organized matchmaking, because you basically have like the continents of the Earth, and then you pick your continent, and then you have different sectors which you can basically acquire for your faction, because at the beginning of the game you pick a faction, and that will give your faction different boosts during a season. A season for them is from basically now until every sector has been conquered by one of the factions. And then one faction wins, the other loses, then a new season would start. We are not there yet, but it's
kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a meta game. Does that mean that you're always on the same team?
You can at some point switch your faction once during the season.
Okay.
And that's also pretty funny, because sometimes you actually get to play traitor games, basically guys who have switched to the opposing faction during this season, which is also kind of funny.
What happens if you go into a lobby with a friend who's in a set to be in a different faction? Or do you not know yet?
You can't. You can't.
Oh, okay.
Go together, play together with a friend who is in a different faction. That does not.
That's
work.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's a shame this game is actually a summer arcade game, because I'm really looking forward to playing this, and I kind of can't because I don't own an Xbox 360 anymore.
Yeah. I haven't seen a 360.
I sold it.
When did this happen?
I sold it last week because I'm moving. I want to sort of lower the amount of stuff I need to take with me as possible, and I need money.
Very nice. So now we're two 360s down here.
And the funny thing is, though, they have a pretty neat way of balancing the factions. When I first started out, apparently the Paladin faction had more people, so the game tried to encourage me of picking the variants by saying, hey, if you pick these guys, you will start at level 5.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So when someone new starts out, they can basically pick the faction.
Because this is something that games that have like two factions has always had. I mean, like, obviously, if you're playing like Star Wars: The Old Republic, who's not going to pick the dark side?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a really neat way of balancing that out, I think. I didn't even think about who do I want. Oh, I get to start level 5. Of course, I pick both. I have more options right from the beginning. Cool.
Yeah.
So it's really neat.
It sounds like a very smartly designed game from out of the, not even just the core gameplay, but just out of the decision making that goes into it. Because again, this meta game sounds really interesting, where you have a reason to continue to play, and you kind of have like this team to cheer on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Olympics, where a lot of people got into sports because their home country had a team in a sport you probably don't usually watch.
You know what surprised me about this game the most? this is made by the same people that made Scribblenauts, of all things.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. And also, like I said, the at first maybe the movement seems limited, but after a while you learn to actually use it, because you also have, you can press the B button to go to the cover you have last been at, which is pretty cool. I used it like, some guy was going toward me and he had a couple of bots with him, he would probably kill me, so I went back, picked my grenade, and while I was flying through the grenade at the cover I have been at, and he exploded, which is nice. And because you don't have to actually control your movement while you're going back, you can concentrate on firing or using a grenade or something like that, which is of course very easy with a PC game with the mouse and stuff, but the console game, it actually helps, which is cool.
What is it? I know it's deathmatch, so like, how many is it, like 4 versus 4?
I think it's 3 versus 3, isn't it?
It's just 3v3, team deathmatch, King of the Hill, something called Crazy Kings, which has switching, King of the Hill zone, which switches.
Okay. And it's like, what is the single player content like?
No single player content.
At all. So there's not even like a training?
There is a training at the beginning, yeah. But there's just.
Okay, and how much is it?
$10. Like every.
When did that become the unofficial price point?
When Braid came out.
Yep.
Fair enough. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, what about you, Chad? Have you been playing anything new?
No. Not really. Not anything at all, actually.
Oh.
Well, StarCraft, but.
That's
a given,
new.
Really. That's old news at this point.
Fair enough. So that is me. Well, one, I played Shadow the Hedgehog for review of Bad Game Day, and...
Oh, I thought that was a good game!
It's
that was when Sonic was in its prime! What are you talking about?
It's not that bad. Honestly,
it's not that
great.
It has the same problems that most 3D Sonic games have in that slippery control scheme.
Yeah, like, it's not any worse than a lot of the 3D Sonic games.
That's not a good thing.
It's honestly better than most of them.
It's not the worst Sonic game I've played, I'll give it that much. But that's not really a compliment either. But yeah, that was that, and you can check out the review on the site or whatever. What I've really been playing and focusing on this week was PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, because I got into the beta for that. And... I mean, okay, I'm going to go through this first part without trying to mention Smash Brothers, and I'm going to say my biggest problem with this game right now is it does a terrible job of relaying any type of information to the player.
I saw that when I was watching Giant Bomb's Quick Look.
Yeah, I was going to say Martin saw this too, the first time I played the game, I don't know if you noticed this in the Quick Look or not, is that the button command layout that pops up shows up like a second or two. And there's no way to access it in game, so I had no idea what any of the buttons did. my first match, and I was just like pounding away on stuff. The sad thing is, I actually ended up winning, so that. There's no indicator whatsoever as to who's winning during the course of the game. Like, there's nothing that shows you. It doesn't show you if somebody scores. It doesn't show you if somebody lost points. It doesn't show you a score at all. So it is that. You have to wait until the end to figure it out. The game does a piss-poor job of telling you when you actually achieve the level in your super meter. Like, there's no audio cue, and I don't think there's any cue that your character changes to show that, like, you know, like, you have a level. So that's one.
From what I've seen, you get a slight glow around your character when you have a certain level. But I think that's not really enough.
If it's there, it's so slight that nobody notices it.
Yeah, I don't even notice it when I'm playing, to be honest with
you. Yeah, it's a problem. And when I only notice it when I've been watching it, just watching it. I've noticed it. But the other thing is, I can't really discern at what level what glow is. And I think the hut is kind of terrible because it seems kind of small and way too low. So you are playing more up, more at the top of the screen, let's say. You don't really look down to see to your level. It's kind of dumb.
It's kind of weird because I was at Street Fighter. I mean, the Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom game has the same system, and your things are sometimes at the bottom, but they take up the entire bottom screen. Where like All Stars, each person gets like this tiny corner, you know, like this tiny portion of the screen. And one of the things is, and this is another problem that I had, is some of the stages are very dark and the characters are muted to begin with. So, for example, I was playing as Kratos on Hades and I kept losing track of where he was on screen. Just because there's like really nothing that makes your character kind of pop from the background. So, yeah, there's a lot, it does a terrible job of conveying information to you, like, that, like where's your character when you activated a super, oh, that's the other thing. It does a poor job of telling you when you die or when you respawn. Cause like, yeah, there's like a giant glow when somebody dies, but you don't always know it's you. Like, there's nothing but that glow, and sometimes you could miss it because there's so much going on the screen, and then you just kind of respawn randomly on the screen. So, there's that. If you respawn,
Am I the person who thinks the camera moves a little too quickly and a little too often? It's always moving, and it's never still, really.
I think the problem with this, and this is an interesting system they try to do, again, I'm trying not to say how it compares to Smash Brothers just yet, but what they did is, like, instead of having, like, a fixed camera, it's a camera that zooms in and out depending on how many players are on the screen. So, for instance, if two people end up dying, the camera zooms in on the two people left on the stage.
Yeah, I don't think that's a great idea.
No, it's not, because then it has to zoom right back out when other people respawn.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can end up respawning in like a dying spot real quickly, but the camera does zoom out. But yeah, it's one of those odd decisions that they seem to have made. And I think this goes a long way throughout the course of the game. It's like they've made decisions that doesn't really fit the game they made. For example, one of the things that Giant Bomb mentioned, and I've been trying to get people to explain this to me as well, is what is the point of being hit in the game? Like, I understand why you want to be on the offensive, because, you know, that's the only way for you to gain AP and for you to use your supers, but you don't have to be hit to die. For instance, there was a guy yesterday, I was playing a game, and there was a guy who wasn't playing, so I was just beating the crap out of him to get up my AP, and I realized it's a cheap tactic, but whatever. The game kind of caters to that. So I would beat him up, I'd gain AP, and then I'd use Radix level 2 super, which is a beam that goes across the screen. So I'd get this guy and then the two other people in the path, because they're all fighting their own battles, and I'd rack up 3 kills without actually ever touching those people. So it's like one of those things where, like, yeah, it's kind of cool that you get all these moves, but like it doesn't do anything different. Like, I can just pound away with Parappa, and I'll gain AP the same as...
It sounds like the sole purpose of this game is just to get your super, use it.
Yeah, that's the only way you can score. That's the only
really?
Way to... Yeah, so, like I said, the point of hitting...
Yeah, that's not really a fighting game.
It's a fighting game. It's like they took an idea and said, you know, we have to make this different somehow, and they didn't design the rest of the game around it. Another thing that, you know, falls into that category, I think, for me, is the stages. Like, when they first revealed the game, I thought the stages was the most interesting aspect of it, because you have these stages that kind of transform throughout the course of a level, you know, course of a match and whatever. But as you play it, you realize, like, it doesn't matter, because you don't get ring out, so having a stage where you can fall into the water doesn't do anything. There's one stage, I forget the name of it, there's, like, after a certain part of the match, there's a giant pit that opens up, and it has, like, grinders in it. And you go, if you hit it, you just use, like, a little bit of AP, but it doesn't do anything major. So it's, like, it has these cool environmental hazards, but...
They do nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't really factor into the game as anything major. Like, it doesn't change your strategy. Like, I'm not going to try to avoid it because it gives me 50% damage and it can, you know, knock me around or something like that. And again, it's a lot of these decisions that seems to be like, we wanted to make this game, we wanted it to be different, but then we didn't think of what different meant in this case.
Yeah, it sounds like it's different just for the sake of being different. And yeah, it's not actually, like, is not well thought out. They just, oh, let's do that, because Smash Brothers doesn't do this.
It seems like the game might have been better if they actually tried to copy Smash more.
Yeah, I think all it sounds like it needs, really, is the ability to die without using a super on somebody.
Yeah, maybe.
I think either that, or they could have designed the game around the idea of this super in general. Because like I said, right now, it's like, because, you know, like you're attacking people, but attacking all you gain your AP, so it defeats the purpose. Because I can attack you, and then this is the other thing. It's like your supers can miss. So I can attack you for 2 minutes, go to level 3 super.
It'd be a waste of time.
And then it end up being a waste. And then, you know, like, you feel defeated because what's the point of doing all this work if you're not going to see anything?
Yeah.
And the counter most people give to me is like it's no different than kill stealing in Smash Brothers, which still doesn't count because somebody's getting that kill no matter what, and it's still damage being dealt by the person fighting you. And this is, you know, this is a minor thing, and I'm probably in the minority with this. I also wish that you had a way to do different level supers without actually, because like it's, you get a level 1 super, you can only do a level 1 super. You get a level 2 super, you can only do a level 2 super. You get a level 3 super, you can only do a level 3 super. And the way it works is certain characters, it's probably wiser to do some of their other supers instead of their higher ones. Like, for instance, Radix, his level 2 super is much more effective to me than his level 3 super. Yeah. Because like you can get 3 kills in a row with it, where his level... I forget what his...
If you have the ability to select which level super you want to do, so if you have 3 and you want to use a 2... then at least like that provides sort of a layer of strategy behind it instead of just hit some dude until you've got the desired level super.
Yeah, exactly. For instance, Parappa is a character. he's a character in the game, but his level 3 super is one of the few in the game that's an automatic 3 kills. Like, he'll kill everybody on the screen with it. But you can get more kills with his level 2 super if you know how to use it, because you can kill everybody on the screen, and then you still can come back and kill them during their respawn.
Yeah.
But again, it's kind of weird that you don't have an invisibility period when you respawn, because, again, people can just do that. So, yeah, I think giving you the abilities to pick what level super you use, especially, you know, like, let's say you want to use your level 2 and save up a level 1 for later on, because like there's 30 seconds left in the match, and you won't get a level 1 super in that time. It's, you know, it adds something to it.
They could easily put in a sort of a really basic combo system, make it so you get more AP if you use these combos properly, and then make it so you can strategically use whatever level super you want, so long as you've got at least that level.
Well, there is a combo system in this game, and it does work that way where you get.
Right.
But the problem with a combo system in a game like this, at least in this beta, since it's only 4 players online, is it defeats the purpose when there's 2 other people, because more often than not, you probably won't have the time to finish off your super, your combo, before somebody else breaks it up.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, you know, and this game is going to be interesting to see in, like, 1v1 or 2v2, how the strategy changes and evolves. I will say this, because I don't want to sound completely down. I actually do think it's a really fun game.
Well, it looks like it's got a lot of potential, they just didn't think it out. Completely.
Yeah, it's a fun game wrapped in some baffling decisions that I don't understand why they made, they have time to change it before release, but it is like 2.5 months. So
let's face it, right? Everybody's saying it's a Smash Brothers ripoff, but nobody actually wants it to fail, because obviously there are people that own PS3s and not Wii's that want to play Smash Brothers.
Yeah, like, well, the fact that it's a Smash Brothers ripoff has never really bothered me, because I like Smash Brothers, so
yeah.
more of that is kind of okay.
Just make it a good game that, like, where the mechanics work, and it sounds like they haven't really done that.
Yeah, and that was my attitude when this game was first. I don't care if it's a Smash Brothers ripoff. It's not like there's a dozen of those on the market right now.
Well, other than Jump Superstars, I can't think of anything that has a format like that.
There are games. I have one. I was playing this yesterday for this podcast. Turtles Smash Up. There's the Cartoon Network Explosion XL. There is a Rayman Rabbit, a Beautiful Joe one, I should say. So there are games, but I think the thing is, like, none of them have had none of them have had the branding that Sony one has. None of them have had that kind of, you know, this is done in a much higher pace than any of those were starting. And I think the other thing is because it's two first-party studios, a lot of people are probably upset that it's pretty much, it's not ripping it off wholesale. I don't want to say it's ripping it off. It's, you can't say it's not inspired by Smash Brothers. And I do agree. I do think they should have, if they were going to be inspired by Smash Brothers, they should have taken it wholesale and then seen what works in that game and what doesn't work and then fix it instead of trying to be different on a basic level with this super only scoring system.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, we have this stuff going on all the time. I mean, one of my favorite games ever, which is Star Wars Republic Commando, is a Halo ripoff, but it's a very good Halo ripoff, and I enjoy it a lot. And it's a Halo ripoff with a lot of rich Star Wars around it, and I love that.
Yeah, and I'm sure for some people this will be better than Smash Brothers just because they know some of these characters more than the... Well, okay. I'm going to find it really hard to believe that anybody knows these characters better than they know the Smash Brothers roster, but they may be more familiar with their games because they grew up the PlayStation or PlayStation 2 era, or this era, this generation. So yeah, it is that. I think the idea of having three different supers is kind of neat. There are some interesting moves and stuff like that, but as a whole, I think, I'm going to give the beta some more time, and hopefully, I think there's a patch coming out this week or whatever, but I'm probably going to pass on it the first run and wait until it's like $20-$30 to pick it up. Like I said, it's a fun game, and I'm kind of curious to see how they flesh out the rest of the experience, especially if this beta is only 4 players online, like I mentioned, so you don't see any of the single-player stuff, you don't see any of the local co-op stuff, you don't see any of the options that you get, so there could be a lot more features to it, and it's not broken. The core idea works, it's just that it's not always well thought out throughout the rest of the experience.
The thing is, like Daniel says, I'm kind of don't want it to fail, even if I don't end up buying it, because, like I said, some of the things just seem weird and strange to me, but I could see them, if it sells well enough, doing maybe a second game, and then maybe getting things right.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, I mean, since we're already here, and this is kind of... two questions. One is more from me, and the other one is from our audience this week. What do you think is the threshold for success for this game? Like, what does it have to? Like, is it going to be a combination of how it does commercially and critically? Is it dependent on how well it sells? Do you expect it to be based on just the critical reception? Like, what do you think should be the benchmark to say that this is a successful launch of a new game?
I think it has to be a mixture of both commercial and critical. Because obviously, people have to want a game for it to be successful at the same time. And obviously, everybody is comparing it to Smash Brothers all the time. And so it needs to be seen as a good game. I would say objectively, but you can't say something is a good game objectively, but critically at least. They need to sort of recognize it to say, this is a familiar experience, but they have done something different with it and it actually works.
Okay.
The thing is, I think it might be enough for Sony if it sells well enough. And for Sony first-party games, their threshold doesn't seem to be that high. Because a lot of their first-party games don't do that well compared to other first parties. I don't know, I think they would probably be happy with, like, I don't know, 1.5 to 2 million units, probably.
Okay. And I expect it to probably cross the million unit sold worldwide by the end of this year, and then probably crawl to like 1.5 to 2 million with like re-releases and greatest hits.
Saying this because we have seen other Sony franchises who did those numbers the first time around and they got a sequel.
Yeah, I mean, Infamous got a sequel, and you're a big fan. We're not going to go down the list of Sony IPs that... And this is another question that we've kind of held on for like 2 weeks because of our... But if you were Sony, how would you advertise this game?
I know they can't mention Smash Brothers specifically by name, but they can allude to it. I don't think it will harm them at all to say, yes, this is inspired by it. You know it's inspired by it. We know it's inspired by it, and we're not going to pretend otherwise.
I don't think they will do that.
They won't, but I think it could do them some favors if they were to do that.
I was thinking the opposite, is that I would try to avoid the Smash Brothers comparison, because then it's going to be like the same thing where like kind of having that connotation is probably going to be like, oh, I can get Smash Brothers like $30 now, and way cheaper than a PS3 or a Vita. Or it's going to be like, and this is a problem, and if you follow Gath, there's a huge stud on this with what it's Kaminaka calling this game a ripoff of Smash Brothers, is that they also have to get over that idea that this is just a second-rate Smash Brothers clone, and I don't think Drunken direct comparison to that game is going to help them. I said this when they announced the game at the Game Trailers TV, is that I'm still shocked that they haven't given us a trio of like Kratos versus Nathan Drake, who I think are their biggest two characters in this game so far.
Hmm.
And how does that work, by the way? Like, one guy searches for treasure, the other guy's a fucking god. I wonder who takes that fight.
Video games, Chad.
That's how it works. It's
no different than Smash Bros., because technically speaking, somebody like Samus could probably own the entire Nintendo universe with no problems.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think that part of it gets worked into a lot of people's heads. Like, yeah, there's no reason that Parappa should be able to kick the crap out of Kratos in this
game.
Honestly,
I think I'm more concerned about the art style of each character and how they compare to each other than one is a god and one raps.
See, that's something they didn't really do either. It's like everybody's kind of ripped from their own game and kind of pasted in here. Like, they're 3D, so it's, people like Parappa and stuff, who's a 2D character, kind of gets full-bodied. But it's like, there's not a real uniform look for the entire game, which probably helps with everything kind of getting muted. It's hard because Sony, I think, of the big three have a diverse mix of character types.
Well, nobody's arguing that.
It's just that some of it looks really awkward next to each other because they didn't really work on the demo's a decent mix because you have Shy, you have Parappa, you have Fat Princess, and then you have Kratos, Radek, and Sweet Tooth.
So you're saying like it's a junior high prom, basically, where everyone's there, but they all kind of look awkward next to each other.
Yes, exactly, Tash. That's All Stars Battle Royale. This is like the third or fourth week in a row we're talking about it. We'll talk about it next week as well, because Sony is set to announce three to four new characters this week at GamesCon. Gamescom, okay. I'm just so used to everything ending in con.
Sony will also have a conference with some announcements. With
no video games.
They went on record as saying that we'll hear about Call of Duty Declassified this week.
So there has one Vita game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, so I'm mostly interested in this game because I really want to know who's developing it.
It'll probably be Treyarch. It would either be Treyarch or WayForward. I think it's WayForward that did the portable versions
of what?
Call of Duty.
That was N-Space.
It was N-Space.
I thought people were saying this was Nihilistic. Nihilistic.
Ooh.
That's what I heard. I mean, nobody knows for sure. They haven't said, but I think that was the latest rumor.
Nihilistic is not a quality studio.
From what I heard, that's true.
I've never heard of them before, so
that's probably a good thing.
But they also made the...
I think they made
Resistance game for the Vita.
Yeah, Burning
Skies.
That's
pretty bad.
I don't know, everything about that studio just kind of strikes as being really pointless.
Well, somebody has to port these games to the Vita because Sony's not going to. Actually, looking at their resume, it's not a great resume. Marvel Nemesis Rise of the Imperfects.
Oh, jeez.
Conan. Zombie Apocalypse, PlayStation Move Heroes.
PlayStation Move Heroes were also so bad.
And Resistance Burning Skies. Their average is about a 65 on Metacritic.
Listen, I'm not one to make premature judgments or anything, guys, but I don't know how I feel about this game.
But, I mean, I think this is the perfect segue into news, because one of the big news stories of this week, or two of them actually, was that Sony's president, I don't know which president he is, came out and said that they're having trouble gaining third-party support for the PlayStation Vita.
His name is Yoha Yoshida.
Yeah, but I don't know what company, what part of the company he's president of. Is he Japan?
I would assume, yeah.
No, he's Ukrainian. Can't tell from his name.
Just because you're Japanese doesn't mean you're the head of Sony Japan. You could be the head of Sony America. And still, Kaz was the head of Sony.
He's not the head of Sony America. That's what I know.
I mean, he's not the head of, but he was the head of Sony, the entire gaming branch.
Sony Computer Entertainment Worldwide, isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Think that's it.
It's very confusing, but he's an important person there. And he pointed to the fact that they'd have to look for games, toward games like Assassin's Creed Liberation and Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Declassified to kind of start gaining third-party support. And
but you don't gain third-party support by spin-offs of games that people have gotten.
Well, I mean, it depends. If they sell well,
you'll get a
stream of stuff. I mean, if it does end up selling well, it's going to end up being in the situation that we got a bunch of off-brand, like Castlevania Judgment, Soul Calibur Legends, the two Resident Evil real shooters and stuff like that. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because if it's just...
it's better than nothing.
I was going to say, we've had this discussion before, because if it's getting Assassin's Creed 3 or if it's just getting Black Ops 2, then why are people going to buy the Vita version over the PS3 version or the 360 version? What they need to do is work in a way where these games kind of work in unison with their console counterparts so that you give people a reason to not just buy the Vita version, but to buy the PlayStation 3 version as well, and they work together.
The thing is, though, if those games have to prove to third parties that the Vita is a viable platform, basically, that also means that right now there's not a lot going on in third-party studios.
Yeah, and that's what
also
I was gonna
means,
to.
Like, what's up in the first half in 2013?
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if these two games do come out and do gangbusters, like, what's to keep the momentum going into the next year?
Exactly.
Or is this going to be a situation like the Kinect, where Microsoft remembers they have it once a year, they come out with like 5 or 6 new games, and then they do it again in the next November.
Yeah, but the worst thing is Sony can't do that. They can't do that because the Vita has cost them a lot more money than the... not only has it cost them a lot more money than the Kinect, but it's sold a lot less units than the Kinect. Microsoft doesn't have to care because the Kinect has sold a bunch and they don't,
Yeah, they don't necessarily use money on the software. At this point, I assume they're just recycling the same game every year.
Yeah.
With upgraded Kinect functionality or whatever. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, even if the Vita, and this is why the next month is going to be very important for the system, because we have Gamescom and we have TGS, and if there aren't any major announcements, that means the next year or so for this system, it's going to be a barren wasteland for new releases. And there's no way to recover from that. Like, people say that, the PlayStation 3 had a slow start, or the DS, or the 3DS. But they still had a decent stream of software. It's just that they didn't really have any heavy hitters. The Vita doesn't have that stream of software. If I'm not mistaken, I don't follow the releases enough, but if I'm not mistaken, according to Gaff, the last major retail title for the Vita was Lego Batman, and the next one isn't out until next week. So it would have been 2 months before they've had any type of retail release for the system, which isn't a good period for any system.
And I'm also going to say, some people like to point out, but there have these downloadable games coming out. That's not helping. For most people, downloadable games are still not a big thing. And these downloadable games are not what's selling consoles.
No, downloadable games is one of those things, and this is why smartphones and tablets work. It's like you need the device already, and then you happen to be bored or you happen to know about something. Like,
exactly.
At a mobile games, it's like, oh, I'm in an airport, I'm at a bus terminal, I have a commute. Let me see what they have that can play for like 5 or 10 minutes here.
And not
like,
only that, it's on a smartphone, you pay 99 cents.
Yeah. So
you are not going out to buy a Vita because Soundshape's coming out.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Soundshape's.
Yeah.
The other thing with Soundshape's, though, is it's also on the PS3.
Yeah, that's a bad example then, but some other downloadable Vita type, they have a couple of exclusive downloadable titles for, I think, Escape Plan, I think, is also just downloadable.
Yeah, that looks good.
For
They have a lot of decent titles out. They don't have any major titles out. And this is always going to be the problem with Sony if their major first and second party studios don't want to work on the system. Then you either end up with something like Resistance Burning Skies, which is a terrible part in the franchise, or something that goes in Abyss, which, while a good game, doesn't feel like a proper Uncharted, and people don't feel the need to buy a new Vita for it.
Yeah.
So I
think Sony would have maybe gone better just because you mentioned Uncharted. I mean, Uncharted's a big thing for Sony, but I would have preferred it if they would have had Sony Band work on new Siphon filter for the Vita.
It
would have been way more interesting.
When people buy Uncharted, they don't just buy Uncharted. They buy Uncharted and Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
And
Band has already proven that they can do really good Siphon filter titles, and they did both on the PSP, so getting those guys to do one of those games for Vita would have been pretty great.
And the other thing with that is, and this is, I think this is the same problem Nintendo is going to run into this year as well, is that Uncharted 3 came out, 4 months before Uncharted Golden Abyss?
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't the best Uncharted game either. I think a lot of people were kind of waiting on the franchise with that game because it was kind of hum-hum. I don't think releasing a new version of it like 4 months later really would have done anything. And I think that's the exact same situation Nintendo is going to find themselves in with New Super Mario Bros. 2 and New Super Mario Bros. U, which are like 3 months apart.
But New Super Mario Bros. Is kind of a different situation because it's also launching with the system and it's a Nintendo console. I would assume a lot of people will just pick that up.
If you play like the smaller version first, you can say, right, I'll play this little bite-sized, smaller version of New Super Mario Bros. Now I'm ready for the big stuff.
And that's why I think they're doing it better because, you know, again, there are stuff, you know, like the console version will have 5-player co-op and stuff like that, and it looks like a much better made game as well. But you still can have fatigue, especially being that this would be the third Mario game in a year.
True.
So, I mean, it's curious to see what we'll get there when we get there. The other thing that came out of Sony, which is kind of contradictory to this, is that I forget these people's names, honestly. It's not Trenton, was it?
Jack Trenton.
Yeah, I think it was him, who says he's happy with Sony's the Vita sales. He'd be ecstatic if it was three times higher. He'd be disappointed if it was one-third DS. Or some weird math like that. But it reminded me of Go the Ox, where like, this power is just too warm and this power is just too cold.
Oh, so hyperbole then.
Yeah.
If Jack Tretton's happy with the PlayStation Vita sales, he's the only person on the planet that is happy with them.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to say that when the company itself just dropped projections for the device by 4 million units this year.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, they're still way behind track on actually hitting that number. So, I mean, I understand why you don't want to show a lack of confidence in your product. It was just weird that this came out the day after we had the quote where they're having trouble getting third-party support on board the Vita. So, it's one of those things where one person's trying to be honest and one person's trying to save face.
It's damage control.
Yeah, it doesn't inspire confidence when you don't get your message straight or you don't have a message to send, which we earned with Nintendo at E3, so... And somewhat brighter news, because you don't often get to talk about this. You always talk about the other side. Epic Games announced Impossible Studios, which is, what is it, former Big Head Games?
Big Huge Games.
So it's nice to actually talk about a studio being created this generation instead of one closing down or firing people.
The only problem I have is what is Epic going to do with it? Because, I don't know, because if they're just going to say, right now, you guys are just going to turn out Gears of War every year for Microsoft, then no thanks.
I would hope that they use their abilities to the best, and
yeah.
I guess that would be make something like Armor Lure without that name.
and not rush to make an MMO this time.
Well,
yeah,
I just make
a single-player RPG. Basically, they could be like, yeah, make Epic Skyrim and use our new fancy engine with it.
We can have a sort of an open world Gears of War RPG.
Yeah, I imagine whatever they're doing, they're working on Unreal Engine 4, and it's probably going to be like a second wave title for next gen. So they'll probably have like a good 2 or 3 years to kind of get this game.
And the thing is, if they get them to do such an open world RPG, it's also a great way for Epic to actually sell their engine even more, because say, hey, look what our engine also can do, not just shooters, you can also
and
do
as much as I berate Epic
RPG.
As much as I berate Epic, they seem like a really good company to work for if they're going to work for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, except for people can fly who now work on Gears of War. So actually, have we seen anything on Gears of War since it was announced?
Judgment, well, they've been showing the new multiplayer mode at PAX and stuff.
I think Microsoft has been really quiet this year. Maybe I just don't follow Halo 4 enough.
This is the interesting thing, is Judgment is releasing March 2013.
With everything else.
So, not only is it releasing with everything else, but we've got Microsoft releasing what would probably be a big title for them in March. And then, obviously, we've got Halo 4 in the fall. And then, so what's going to happen next year?
Well, it's going to be the same thing with any... I mean, it seems like what these companies are doing nowadays, and I don't think it's necessary on purpose, I know it wasn't on Nintendo's side, is that in order to phase out their old system, they're pretty much just leaving them to die before they launch the new one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, starvation goes a long way, because I would imagine that Grand Theft Auto 5 may be the last major game we have this gen. Or maybe Bioshock Infinite, because at the rate this is going, it's probably going to be delayed past February.
Yeah.
Again, this is all based on Kotaku, so. Or maybe Final Fantasy Versus 13. Who knows?
If that ever comes to life.
You mean Final Fantasy 15?
Final Fantasy 15. but yeah, so. There we go. On the other side of issues, we've been seeing this happen twice now with the Microsoft patching policy.
Well, we don't know if it's the patching policy.
Oh,
Konami
just being cheap. Yes, but they have the patch of the PS3.
Oh, this makes no sense to me. I don't understand this.
I kind of understand and I kind of don't, but the whole idea behind this story is that they're not patching the Silent Hill HD collection for the Xbox 360, which has been known to have a game-breaking bug.
Which also is just generally awful.
It's just, okay. But instead of fixing this patch...
They're giving away games!
They're giving away games.
Yeah.
Why can't you just use that money and make the patch?
Here's the reason why this works. It's the same thing as doing a rebate in store.
What if it really is the technical difficulties they are saying they are?
I don't know.
Then why did you release the game in that state?
Because everybody's
that's my point, Daniel. That's my point, Daniel. The Silent Hill HD port was
like, and it's not like
up
it's not
it
like
it,
it's not like this is any game. This is Silent Hill 2.
Yeah. It's a fucked up port of both games. It's really, really bad. I mean, it was really bad on PS3, and it was even worse on 360. I mean, the game has, like, sound syncing issues with sounds and stuff like happening seconds later and stuff like that. It's terrible. How this thing even got released is a big question for me.
Again, it seems like And I can't speak to this because we don't have any inside scoop, but it does seem like a lot of people have kind of axed their certification process because it's like, oh, you can just fix it with a patch later on.
And then,
sorry, we can't
do that now.
But my problem is then if games like this can go through certification, then why even have certification?
I assume to make sure it's not completely junk. I assume they figured that Silent Hill starts up, it's playable, people can, you know, it works. But other than that, they don't care. And it's one of those things that's going to be interesting, like I said, when this generation's over in like 10 years. And seeing like some of these games that, you know, like when servers are being taken down or patches are no longer being available and stuff like that. Even now, we have games being taken down off of digital services. Like, I think something was just taken down off of Xbox Live Arcade this week.
That's another problem I have with how Xbox Live Arcade works, because they kind of don't have price degradation. It seems like they rather take something off than, I don't know, lower the price? I mean,
yeah,
stuff like Res HD, I think, is still 1,200 points. Why?
Yeah, it's one of the problems with digital. I think it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. We're a retail store that's like, crap, we have like 50 copies of this game, how can we get rid of it? And then you mark it down to like $20.
And this is it, is Valve is the only people that have got this right. You look up Portal 2 on Steam, it's like $30.
Exactly. They have price degradation on their digital titles. They know.
There are some exceptions. I mean, Counter-Strike Global Offensive is cheaper than Counter-Strike Source, but, you know, the new one is cheaper than the old one. You know, you can't really get much degradation than that.
Yeah. And on top of that, they have their extreme sales a couple of times a year.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft has it usually around Christmas and stuff like that.
That sale sucks.
I can guarantee you that the only reason they do that is because of what Valve does.
Yeah,
sales are generally terrible.
You get some decent ones. That's how I picked up Shadow Complex and stuff like that. But yeah, and for the most part, the fact that it's like a day, so it's not even like, oh, you know what, I can think about this. It's like, you do it now, you don't do it at all. But, again, it's, you know, Sony, Microsoft, and especially Nintendo are going to have to go through this patch and kind of, you know, integrate this into their next system and make sure it's something that's viable, because I assume there's probably too much bottleneck on their end to do it constantly.
I think Sony is actually on a...
with the PlayStation Plus
game than the others, with PlayStation Plus deals and stuff like that. That's at least something.
Yeah, we shall see. I mean, since we're already talking about patches, we might as well, because there was like 50 other patches this week. Uncharted 3 got a new patch, which adds a bunch of...
microtransactions.
Microtransactions and a tournament mode to multiplayer. SSX got a new patch, which adds, I think it adds a...
Does that add a proper multiplayer into it?
A pseudo multiplayer. I don't think you race on the same screen, but I think you race at the same time.
I think that makes sense. Cool. I mean, that's what people have been asking for, and EA are giving it to them, so
yeah.
I can't fault that. As much as I hate EA, I can't fault them.
I'm surprised they got it.
I actually think that should have been there from the start.
It should have been, but...
It's better than them adding it later than not adding it at all, and this is EA. They could have easily just not bothered.
And isn't it free?
The thing is, though, that's one of the reasons I didn't buy the game.
now you can buy it, and it's cheaper.
As if anyone is still playing it.
Well, I assume people went back to... I mean, this is kind of why you do DLC and patches and stuff. It's to kind of reignite interest in a game later on. You know, that's why, you know, people have these systems where you time it like every 2 months, so just when a person's thinking of selling the game, you come up with something new that entices them to go back to it. Or at least that's supposed to be the idea behind it. We also got news that Scott Pilgrim is getting its online patch as well.
That game is really old.
2 years old.
Yeah.
If SSX was behind the ball, Scott Pilgrim is in a different game altogether at this point. Not only that, but it's an online patch you have to pay for, because the only way to get it is you have to buy a new downloadable character was for $5.
I suppose the game was fairly cheap anyway.
Yeah, but
I think it was.
It's like 400 points, isn't it?
I paid $10 for it.
I have it for PSN. I don't even know. But yeah, it was one of the things I asked for when the game came out 2 years ago, and even after that. But 2 years is a long time. I've probably moved on. I'm not going to pay another $5 just to get a feature in this game.
Exactly.
And then I guess we're going by age. Metal Gear Solid 4 got its trophy patch this week.
Hooray!
Yeah, people, you know, busted out Metal Gear Solid and got to replay that, or, you know, watch whatever happens. I think there's actually a trophy for watching all the cutscenes.
Big Boss trophy has begun again.
Only 4 years too late.
Are they retroactive, Chad?
No, fuck, I'm pissed about it. This is going to be the worst. I told you it's not going to be.
I mean, if you don't have to watch it and you've seen it before, you just go make a sandwich.
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of sandwiches.
No, you can't watch the cutscenes to get that trophy, though. You have to beat it in, I think, like under 4 hours or something. So you have to skip all the cutscenes.
So basically, I hate these type of trophies that kind of force you to play the game like two or three times. Heavy Rain's the same way, where in order for you to get all the trophies, you have to keep playing the game until you get all the endings.
You should want to play that game enough to get all the endings, because that game is sick.
Okay, one, you used the word play in that, and I don't play Heavy Rain. You interact with it at times, but you don't play Heavy Rain.
You tell it what to do.
I read VNs, so Heavy Rain is actually a game for me.
It's an improvement for you, because you haven't had more chance with it. But yes, I played Heavy Rain, and I think once was more than enough for me. Not that it's a bad game, it's just, you know, not something. It's like Arena War, it's like good the first time, so you really don't want to see it again, because it doesn't have new tricks. So yeah, that's it for patches. Grind 2 was announced, or Grid 2, I should say.
It's about time.
I'm sure you're all excited for that.
Oh, I know people that are, and as far as I'm concerned, it's about time. You know, I thought Grid was a pretty good game. I'm not really into racing games myself, but Codemasters don't make bad racing games by any sense of the word.
I like racing games, but I would disagree that they don't make bad racing games.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think any of their next-gen titles have really compared handling-wise to what they did before.
I thought Grid was really well reviewed, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
But I don't think the handling really feels that good.
Well, maybe they fixed it.
For you. Maybe, of course. I'm willing to give them the benefit.
In the manual, this game's actually going to come with a manual, and it's going to say, "Dear Martin, we love you. We fixed the handling. Love, Codemasters."
That would be awesome, because I actually like the idea of Grid with all these different race classes, so that would be cool.
I just want Project Gotham Racing back. That's played the hell out of PGR 3. That was my favorite racing game ever.
You get Forza Horizon and you will like it.
Yeah, you're right, I will. This is what I'm left with. I'll deal with it. Fine.
That's out this year too, isn't it?
Yeah, October.
They have really been really quiet this year.
I don't think we have seen anything about that game since E3.
No, I feel like they haven't really said much about that or Halo 4, and those are both out in like 2 or 3 months.
Halo at least got some...
Halo 4 has got a lot of marketing. It's got its own live-action series. It's got...
I haven't seen any of this stuff. Maybe I'm just not paying attention.
Well, the live-action series is a Machinima exclusive, so if you don't go anywhere near Machinima, you're not going to see any of it.
Oh, okay. That helps, then.
I took one look at the trailer, and I was like, Steve Downes is not voicing Master Chief, so I'm going to turn around and walk away.
I think it looked cool. I will watch it.
It looks cool, but it's just too jarring if I don't have Steve Downes as Master Chief and or Jen Taylor as Cortana. It's just not the same. I've played, like, 10 games. I've lost count now with them as the signature characters, and I'm not...
So do I, but I can live with it. I'm not that...
I have to say, I mean, maybe it's just me, maybe, but this year has been really quiet for any type of hype. Like, I mean, we
not
got
if you're me, and Borderlands 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, even then, that's kind of, I mean, like, Borderlands 2 is out in, like, a month.
Yeah.
And
not like for me. Yeah, it's out in a month and 2 weeks.
Oh, that's so hot.
Like, somebody was pointing out to me, like, I didn't realize, like the summer stuff is almost over. We get the Astro, we get Darksiders 2, we get New Super Mario Bros., we get Transformers, all within the next 2 weeks, and it doesn't feel like that's going to start.
And don't get me started on Transformers. I'm looking forward to that game as well.
It looked really cool when I watched the Giant Bomb Quick Look.
Have you played the demo?
Yeah, but I wasn't completely convinced.
Really?
But what they showed in the Quick Look...
Have you played Wolfenstein Cybertron? Board.
I played the first title.
Yeah. Oh, I can't...
And I really liked it, but I wasn't so sure, but they showed some stuff.
Dear games industry, fuck your Halo 4, fuck your Black Ops 2, it's Borderlands 2 and Fall of Cybertron. That's what I'm fucking looking forward to this year.
Fall of Cybertron, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first one was War of the Cybertron, so it makes sense. Speaking of, and we got two more news pieces, then we'll get to questions, is that what is old is new again with Sony, who are doing... New, I don't even know, these aren't HD collections because these games are already in HD.
This is Sony literally selling the same shit in a different box. They're not changing any of this stuff. I don't see, like, there's a big gap between the last time a God of War game came out. And I know anybody who wants the God of War games would have got them by now because they're all cheap, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is kind of... I feel like this is a kick in the nuts to somebody who bought, like, the God of War collection or the God of War Origins collection, which I have the God of War collection, so... I mean, it was, like, $40 for that, and then you can get the whole saga for $30 now. Granted, it's been a couple of years, but...
Really, things get cheaper over time.
Not that things get cheap over time,
what
but this
the
is...
fuck
the
is happening to
difference
this
difference is, Chad, the difference is, Chad, is most people don't re-release their stuff all the time, whereas Sony does.
No, this is incredibly aggressive, I agree. But
I mean, it's aggressive. It's just kind of weird. Cause
why aren't you buying our things? Buy them!
So yeah, like you get God of War 1, 2, and 3, you get the two PSP games, and then you get some extra downloadable stuff.
So if you're one of the two people that owns a PS3 and hasn't played any of these games, it's a fantastic deal.
There's also the Infamous one, which has Infamous 1 and 2, and I think the other festivals. And this was already announced, and this is an HD collection. It's the Ratchet & Clank one, which has... Wait, is this... Yeah, Ratchet & Clank, which has, like, the PS2 ones all on one disc. So, there's that. And you folks wanted to talk about this Valve, this Team Fortress 2 stuff?
Oh, the ARG.
No! Shut up!
I know you're doing that just to antagonize me.
Well, he antagonized Martin, so
that's
it works.
That's so out of character for me. What are you talking about?
Basically, what Valve has been doing, apparently for a while, is leaving hints in a lot of places that maybe a third faction or something with robots will be coming to Team Fortress 2. People have found like robot heads back 2 years back in the Meet the Engineer video. Then robot heads again returned in some of the files with the Source Filmmaker. Then on some maps, people found top secret doors when you had like when you cheated and had like no clip on, you can get through, and then you could find the soldier and I think the scout, or was it? I'm not quite sure. Like hunching over some photos of apparently robots and kind of being devastated about them. Wait, how did it continue, Daniel?
There was, like, you'd find, like, soldiers standing in front of top secret doors in maps that you had to...
That's
clip
what
to
I
get
just...
to, yeah. And since then they've released a comic introducing, like, there's, like, sort of the leader of the red team and the leader of the blue team, and they're, like, they agree to a truce, but they're tricked by this mysterious man whose name is Gray, who's, everyone's assuming, sort of supposed to represent the robots. And,
he's the third brother.
Yeah, he's the third brother, so he's supposedly related to the red guy and the blue guy. And everybody is going really insane, even though we don't know when it's coming out or when it's happening or why it's happening or anything. And Chad antagonizing me about it being an ARG. It's not an ARG. There's nothing alternate reality about it. It's just Valve being very clever with how they tell people about things.
Yeah, and currently the theories are that it might be a third faction of robots, or maybe
some sort of horde mode.
Some sort of horde mode, because the comic also suggests an alliance between red and blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's Valve releasing a substantial amount of content for a game that's now 5 years old, so that's never a bad thing. And it's TF2, so it's probably going to be fun, assuming Valve actually fix it when they release it in a broken state.
The current theory, I think, also is like maybe we will hear something during the game trailer show. I think they are at Valve next week.
I'm skeptical about that. That's probably going to be CSGO based, because that's coming out in 2 weeks.
Maybe. But we could also maybe guess that it might be a Halloween update.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a build up to the Halloween update, because they always do like major things for Halloween. So
yeah,
I'm hoping it's a build up to that, because that just fit perfectly.
Yeah. And then we would have man versus machine.
Okay. And finally, Martin wanted to talk about XCOM multiplayer mode.
Yeah, also something that was just announced, I think, yesterday. XCOM, I mean, the good one, the strategy game.
we haven't heard anything of the bad one, so, you know.
Well, we still have to say it, apparently, because some people still get confused. Although nobody is talking about the FPS anymore. Anyway, it's getting a multiplayer mode, and it actually seems pretty interesting, because they're going the tabletop miniature route with it. It seems to be a 1v1, and every player gets like a set amount of points, and you basically can pick from all the units in the game, friendly and enemy units, and every one of those has a specific point value, so you build your own team and then go against each other.
Somebody said to me that they were disappointed that this game was getting multiplayer, and I was like, why? This is like the perfect game for a multiplayer, like, because it's basically just Frozen Synapse.
Yeah.
And the multiplayer on that was awesome.
Yeah, it's tactical multiplayer, and in the interviews we heard that it was not actually a publisher requirement, but something they wanted to do right from the
Somebody
start.
Somebody at Firaxis had a good idea, and they were going to do it properly. That's what it was.
It's not even that unique of an idea, because later I learned that apparently there was a mod for the original XCOM called UFO 2000, something like that, back then, apparently. So maybe the mod for this game. I think it's a very cool idea, and they already talked about how they might balance stuff, because it's actually kind of easy when you have points that you're assigned to different units, so they can just, instead of putting out a big patch, they can just say, okay, this unit is now more expensive or cheaper, depending on how the balancing might or might not work out.
Okay.
Sense, yeah.
I think that's everything for news. We have a couple of questions that we can get through. We already answered one or two of them. Let's see, the first one. This is from Adrian, who used to be on the show from time to time. Why does Earl insist on rebutting everything I say? this is just my habit. I do this with everybody I speak to. It's either Advocate, or I think it helps people to expand on their point when you actually challenge them to actually think further than just saying something blanket and being done with it. It's not always the best habit. I know it does piss people off, but it is nice to open up discussion that way. It defeats the purpose to say something and let it go. What can I say? This one comes in from... I forget who this comes in from. I should probably keep track of this. Facebook game, self or hate?
Hate. There is nothing good about Facebook games. Nothing. Absolutely
nothing.
So you're
saying you would not click the like button on Facebook games?
No.
Ha!
Facebook, give me a dislike button for Facebook games.
For everything on Facebook, yeah. Actually. I'd use the fuck out of that button.
There is nothing good about Facebook games. They force you to share, which just ruins... It ruins my feed, it ruins your feed, it ruins everybody's feed with shit that you don't care about. And... They artificially limit you on what you can do, because they're all going to take on a free-to-play. Who would pay a subscription or a flat fee to play a Facebook game? I wouldn't, you wouldn't, nobody would. So they use the worst of the worst free-to-play schemes out there. I'm talking about the Energy One and all sorts. You know, they're designed to get people coming back no matter what. So it's going to be, come back in an hour when this is done. Come back in 2 hours when this is done. They're exploitative.
Or pay some money to get...
Yeah, or pay some money to get done now. You know, they are exploitative, and the fact that EA has got a sudden love for Facebook games makes complete sense, because they are exploitative. There is nothing good about Facebook games.
Have I mentioned on the podcast that I actually tried SimCity Social? And what a terrible experience.
The only reason I loaded up SimCity Social this morning, just so I could try and block the fucking thing from sending me notifications. And it didn't work, I couldn't find it. There is a Worms Facebook game coming, which I hope doesn't suck and hope isn't exploitative, but I'm not holding my breath. Because I think Facebook is like the perfect platform for Worms.
I will say this much. I don't have a problem with Facebook games for the most part. I do play some of them. I've mentioned that I used to play Marvel's Avengers Alliance. I used to play Mafia Wars and stuff like that. I like the idea of games that you can kind of play and, you know, in the background, like you set up some stuff. You set up tasks to do for like 2 hours or something like that, and it goes on and doing that stuff while you're, you know, doing actual important stuff. And it's kind of like, they have a lot of them have social aspects, so you end up working in conjunction with your friends and stuff like that. Or in the case of Mafia Wars, it was kind of a unspoken competition between me and my friend as to who would raise the most money. I enjoy stuff like that. I don't enjoy the fact that I don't necessarily pay out of these games. Like, those are the two big ones. And then I still get spammed like 50 things from my friends. There are certain friends that I don't want to block their incoming notifications, but I swear everything they send me is either for the failure or Casu. Or...
Normally, I don't have a problem with seeing them, because I can just say, don't show me from this game ever again. But what's been happening recently is, you know when it shows you when people's birthdays are, that little bar at the side, it shows you who's poked you and stuff. I've had SimCity Social, and it's only SimCity Social, crop up there, and I cannot get rid of it. I don't like it. Go away. Thank you. I hate Facebook games. I don't need to say it anymore.
Okay, so...
You don't know this. Jack is pretty fun, though.
That was kind of broken. I haven't played that in a bit. But, I see, you don't know Jack is... I mean, it's a Facebook game, but it isn't a Facebook game in that it doesn't have its origins. Because I also play stuff like Words with Friends, which I don't count as a Facebook game. I did used to have Bejeweled Bits. That was an amazing game. just because they had the wiki high scores and stuff. I have a lot of casual gaming tendencies, what can I say? This has nothing to do with anything, but it's a question. Would you rather have top, bottled, or sparkling water?
Bottles.
I would say sparkling. I'm not really fussed, but I would say sparkling, usually because they come chilled.
Sparkling is the correct answer. Well done. You answered that question correctly.
I'm just going to go with Baru to round it out, so there's that. And the final question, which I think is most interesting, at least to me. It's safe to say that the days of the quarter-munching practices arcades are in their dying styles. If arcades want to stay profitable, what sort of business models do you think could work? Subscription, premium membership for bonuses, add in a bar.
I don't know. Arcades have not existed here for a while, so
whatever. I read an article on Ars Technica less than a week ago. It was posted August 7th, and the title was "The Surprising Stealth Rebirth of the American Arcade." So I'm not sure if that's such a true statement, but they suggested having a bar, and this is exactly what they're actually doing now, is they're having bars with arcades, and people are loving it.
Yes, I was going to say, I've been to two of them. I've been to the one in New York, which is, they mentioned that one, and they mentioned the one that opened in Chicago, which I just went to as well. A barcade in Brooklyn, which is,
yeah,
again,
the game bars, arcades are what they call it.
And Emporium in Chicago, which is a great combination, because one, people tend to be a lot more open to stuff while drunk, so you'll end up with people who are probably trying to beat a game that they really can't beat while intoxicated.
Yeah. And not to mention is you can get people that come in there just for a drink, and they go, oh, they've got arcades in here, I'll play those.
Yeah, they tend to cater to that nostalgia factor where it's like, oh, I remember I used to play this game as a kid. I don't know if you, I snapped some pictures of it when I was in Chicago. The one in Chicago has like Super Mario Bros. Arcade game, which I've never played before. It had the Simpsons arcade game, it had X-Men arcade, it had Turtles in Time, it had NBA Jam, it had Mortal Kombat, it had Street Fighter 2, it had Marvel vs. Capcom, it had, you know, it had a Burger Time, it had Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, so it had a wide assortment of games. And the good thing about this bar, at least to me, is that it was only a quarter per game, so it's not like you have to, you know, most people won't have an issue saying, oh, I'll spend $1 to play a game. And then it's like, oh, you know what, I was close to beating this, so I'll spend another $1 or whatever. So instead of doing like, okay, you know what, here, you have to spend $5 to get this. And this is kind of what happens. I don't know if you folks have or ever been to like a Dave & Buster's before.
No.
Which is kind of the same idea. It's like a restaurant, bar, an arcade. They tend to have a bit more modern stuff. Like I went to one recently as well. They had they have Fruit Ninja, they have Infinity Blade, they had like a Wii Bowling type game that isn't Wii Bowling. So they tend to focus more on like modern stuff, like stuff that gets you up and active. But it's the same idea. But this time, you know, like you have to buy like a swipe card, and the cards are like $20. And each game, it has a weird thing where like $20 is like 125 credits, and then some games are like 10 credits, which means they're like $2. But you don't really notice it because you don't bother doing the conversion stuff like that. So I think in order for arcades to work, they have to have something attached to them aside from arcade. Because I don't think people.
I grew up in the UK in the 90s, and there were no arcades in the UK in the 90s. I grew up playing PlayStation 1, because I got into video games quite late, actually. And I would love to go to a barcade. The whole idea of it just sounds awesome to me.
Same
yeah,
here, Daniel.
There's
the same deal here. When I grew up, there were no arcades. So, yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to a traditional. Well, I actually have been to a traditional arcade. We had one that was open up until like 2 or 3 years ago, called Chinatown Arcade, which was more catered towards like the fighting game audience. They had like every version of, you know, Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that. And you know, it's a cool idea, but it's a very niche because it only appeals to that one audience. Growing up, we used to have arcade machines in places that weren't arcades. Like I remember going to. Like, we used to have, like, a corner store that would have WrestleFest and, like, Turtles in Time and stuff like that, and I'd go down there to play. When I was in high school, we had a bowling alley that had, like, Street Fighter, had Bubble Bobble, Buster Move, whatever you want to call it, and various other games. So, you know, you go after school because it was right across the street from our high school, and you play that for a couple hours. So I did have the experience. I didn't have the full-on, you know, like, arcade experience that people are accustomed to, but it was like you'd have arcade machines here and there. I do see them coming back. I think what's going to happen now is you're going to see probably more transitions into like the mobile and smart games. Because I think those kind of are more catered towards the arcade style of play. Whereas, like,
you can buy an arcade machine case for an iPad.
Yeah, but I mean...
That's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I
live inside my head.
But yeah, it's one of those things where I think I do see a revival coming, and I do see that kind of opening it up.
The arcades lend themselves well to like the social aspect as well, because if a traditional arcade is just one guy at a machine bashing away at the buttons and maybe two other people watching him, whereas a barcade, you're all around the machines, you're all having drinks, you're all socializing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could stop at you having drinks to help people socialize. But I do think you end up with stuff like that, especially being like, I didn't see this at Emporium, it was relatively new. I think they have it as well, but Barcade has like a high score thing as well, so they have like all the high scores up on the board. So you can see that, so if somebody's getting close to it, you can probably get people kind of watching on as well. When I've been to Barcade, I've been to Emporium, they were both packed, which I thought was surprising.
Did anyone at any point scream, kill screen coming up?
No.
That's something I want to know. No! It's disappointing.
I haven't been there. I've only been there a handful of times, but I think that's something that's probably for more dedicated fans, where the people I've seen seems to be more like, oh, this game seems like cool, I'll check it out for a while. Not intense, like, oh my gosh, I have to hit this high score type thing. And I don't think, I think that type of thing is something that you probably do earlier in the day, not necessarily when it's packed and you have people walking back and forth behind you.
And you're liquored as fuck.
But, I mean, you don't have to drink at a bar.
It just helps.
Can I also ask something else? Are they just video games, or are they also pinball machines?
The one we went to, the Barcade didn't have one, but the Imperium Bar had one. It had two, I think, and one was Space Jam themed, but that was closed down, and I think the other one was Star Wars themed.
Okay.
So yeah, again, you know, you can have a... The other thing is that these bars also don't really own themselves to, like, space. They tend to be like giant warehouses because you have all the arcade units and stuff. So it's a different look for some bars, or at least the ones I'm accustomed to going to. And they have the one thing I will say, and this pissed me off about both bars. I hate the fact they don't have video game themed drinks.
That just seems a bit too cheesy. Just give me the drinks I always order. With no tease, and let me play the games.
Yeah, but I think going to a video game bar, I would expect... Like, I've been to bars, and this is probably I'm one of those people who enjoys having stuff off the menu because I like trying different stuff. And usually things that catch my eyes are things I know.
I bet the bartender spits in your drink every time you're not looking.
Well, if it's off the menu, it's something they should know how to make. It's not like I'm making something up. It's like I've been to a bar recently where they had something called the Princess Peach. Obviously, as a huge Mario fan, I'm going to have to try that out. I was disappointed that it wasn't pink, but on the same hand, nobody can make fun of me for it, so there's that. I've been to a bar, I've had Dr. No's, I've had Girls Just Want to Have Fun, I've had Scooby Snacks, I've had Lethal Weapons.
That's funny, because when I go to Peros, I've had girls who just want to have fun.
Well, yeah, that might happen too. it's just something I think it's a basic thing that you can sell people on it. Like, if you have like a Ninja Turtle shot or a Super Mario drink or, you know, something like that.
Basically, you want the barkeeper to read the Drunken Moogle.
The what?
Don't you know the drunkenmoogle.com?
That's the best website.
Okay, yeah. and it doesn't necessarily have to be, because some of those drinks I can understand, because they take like 50 ingredients. And I can understand why you wouldn't want to have that at your bar as a specialty, because that's just a lot of wasted alcohol. But I do think you can have something simple. Like, it doesn't even have to be that many. Just kind of come up with something. And it doesn't have to be, it could be like a D-pad, something you create. That's just like, I don't know, what's an alcohol that starts with D? Chad, this is your department.
DiSerona.
There you go. And just throw that in something and call it a D-pad and reset. Again, it's something minor, but I do think that I like the idea of it, and I do want to check it out. There's also one that's comic book themed in the city, but I haven't gone out. I haven't gone there yet because it's way out of my way. But I do want to check it out sometime. So is there anything you folks want to add before we begin to wrap?
No, not particularly.
No, not really.
Okay. So, as always, you can check us out on iTunes. We're up on Twitter whenever that gets updated. Duel_Wilden. You can find us on Facebook, same name. Well, actually, I don't think there's an underscore. You can find us on FormSpring to ask questions. This is where we pulled them from. You know, Duel Wilden as well. For Martin, Chad, Daniel, myself, this has been Duel Wilden episode 79.
How?
Okay. Yeah.